Humane Society, are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Really do appreciate it. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year. Now, you may be listening this into the future and going back because you want to hear Dr. Mark Siegel, but if you're watching and listening to it, I should say in real time, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year. I absolutely love it. I love the fall. I like football. I like food. I like in turkey. I like cranberries. I like getting super full, putting the gloves on and the beanie cap and hopefully get a little snow. You know, I live in the Intermountain West, so snow is usually a good thing to come about. But even if you're in sunny Florida or Arizona or something like that, it's just a great time of year. And I just love it. So we got Thanksgiving here, but let's also remember, we got a good interview today because we got Dr. Mark Siegel, and very timely because he's got this brand new book out. It's called Miracles Among Us, Dr. Mark Siegel. And this guy's a very accomplished doctor, and he's talking about the miracles. And this, I'm interested to talk to him about this because this idea and this intersection between medicine and miracles, the miracle of life, this is what I want to talk to him about because he's done an exceptional job on TV and whatnot. You've seen him out there taking something complicated in science or some breaking news and then breaking it all down for us. But this, I think, is really going to be interesting. So stay tuned to us for Mark Siegel, Dr. Mark Siegel, Miracles Among Us. But let's talk a little bit about the news. All right, for the news this week, I want to simply digest the idea that the United States of America is the greatest country on the face of the planet. That, you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. The men and women who serve us, they serve us in our United States military. They serve as first responders. They're out there today while a lot of us are enjoying turkey and whatnot. They're out there doing their work. I'm so thankful for our predecessors, people who served in the military, gave their lives, the veterans who have served. But I'm also thankful for the innovators, the people who plowed the land and created this unbelievable country called the United States of America. You know, going into next year, we're going to celebrate our 250th anniversary, 250 years. Oh, my goodness. That nobody necessarily thought it wasn't that the United States would make it the way that we did. Yeah, we have flaws. Yeah, we made some big mistakes along the way. But it's still the greatest country on the face of the planet. And I know with President Trump, it's going to be one of the most patriotic celebrations that we've ever had in our nation. And that'll bode well. I think when people are feeling good about their country, they're feeling good about their jobs, they're feeling good. That's all healthy. So the big news this week is everything's going to be all right. We do live in the greatest country. We will overcome challenges. We are self-critical as a nation. That's partly what differentiates us. Yeah, we look under the hood. Yeah, we criticize and talk truth to power. Those are all really good things. And that experiment, if you will, the United States of America, it continues on. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic. I love it. But let's also keep this in mind. There are people out there that are lonely. They're sad. They lost a loved one recently. Maybe there was an accident and something happened to somebody in their family or a friend. So let's reach out and think of those people too, not just on Thanksgiving, not just on whatever day, But all the time. That's who we are. We're going to be better neighbors, better community, better states, better country when we all kind of do that. But do it with a sincere heart, not because you're trying to score some political point or trying to get some, you know, gold star on your forehead. Let's do it because it's just the flat out right thing to do. And we love thy neighbor, right? It's one of the things we're taught in life. So this is the greatest country, and this is one of my favorite holidays. We're getting into this holiday season. I absolutely love it. But let's also think of those that maybe they're squeezed. Maybe they're having financial troubles. Maybe they're having addiction problems. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Maybe they're just lonely. Maybe they just like interacting with you. And your smile and your positive approach, I think, can help a lot of people.
More Jason in the House next.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind. 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. Bumpy along about here. Roger, zero G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A pitcher from the Atlanta Braves who surprised a young fan after surgery makes today's Dean's List. 8-year-old Preston Gober-Franz loves baseball, especially the Braves. He knows every player, with his favorite person being the pitcher, Spencer Strider. You can imagine his surprise and joy when Preston woke up from his 34th surgery in the hospital and got a visit from his favorite player. Preston was diagnosed with a rare brain condition that has contributed to so many visits to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. But the smile on his face said it all when Spencer Strider joined him in the hospital room after his surgery. Preston's family says the visit meant the world to him and is giving him strength as he faces the long recovery ahead. So many in the community have reached out to Preston to send him love and encouragement to keep up his fight. And special thanks to Spencer Strider for making his day in such a wonderful way. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on 10. Apple releases its first big update to its new mobile operating system. iOS 26.1 can be downloaded now, and as usual, Apple recommends everyone eligible update their iPhones, at least for the sake of security patches. But the update also adds some features promised by Apple. Within the new liquid glass design, a tinted background for icons is now available, and the update brings support for live translations and AirPods for both simplified and traditional Mandarin Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Italian. 26.1 brings back a beloved multitasking tool that was done away with when 26 was first released. That's iPad slide over. And for Apple fans hoping to get a new laptop but are afraid it could break the bank, Bloomberg reports Apple is working on building a budget-level MacBook that could retail for less than $1,000. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Time to bring on Dr. Mark Siegel because we love the good doctor, want to learn more about him and his book. And so let's bring on Dr. Mark Siegel.
Well, Dr. Siegel, thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. Really do appreciate it.
Great to be on with you, Jason.
Congratulations on the new book. It's really, I'm excited for you. The miracles among us, how God's grace plays a role in healing. And I want to talk about the book, but I want to start off by talking a little bit more about you, because, you know, I see you on the air all the time. I bump into you in the halls and at Fox News, but I need to learn a little bit more about you, your background, and how we got to this point where you wrote this fantastic book, forwarded by Shannon Bream. But tell us a little bit more, like where you grew up, where you're from, that kind of thing.
I'm from New York, and I think I probably would say I've experienced miracles all my life, but I also believe that a lot of times they're in your hands. And I grew up in a semi-religious household, but I think around the time my first son was born, I became a lot more religious because I started to see coincidences occur and roads to healing and self-healing. You know, I was like every new father with my oldest, like, oh, you know, this has all changed. My life has changed. How do I handle it? I had my first book coming out at the time, which was a novel I wrote. And, you know, I'm like, all this is changing at once. And then I saw how coincidences added up and things occurred that accumulate. And people tend to dismiss them. Oh, you know, it can't be. I'll give you a tiny example that will make you laugh, which is that somebody that I thought might be upset with me that wasn't, I suddenly saw on Facebook that it was their birthday. So I sent them a note, happy birthday, and they wrote back, thank you, you know, that you noticed it. And they sent me a picture of themselves. And I knew there was no problem. But what were the chances of it being that person's birthday? Those things happen all the time in our lives, right, and we don't realize it.
Okay, so growing up in New York, was it in the city, upstate? Where were you?
I grew up in New York City in Queens.
And were you like the only child? Were you?
No, I have a sister. I grew up about 5 miles from where President Trump grew up, and I told him last time I interviewed him that I was a street fighter, and he said he knows that about me, but he's another street fighter, you know. Yeah. But I grew up in Queens, and I have a sister, a younger sister, who's a painter, and, you know, we're close. She lives in L.A. She got a master's in fine arts from Yale. And we're both artists, really. I've always been a writer, and she's always been a painter. And I studied writing long before I ever studied medicine. And that informs how I practice medicine and obviously how I am on TV.
Oh, interesting. What do your parents do?
My father is an engineer. He's still alive at 102, which is one of the miracles that fueled this book. And my mother's alive at 100. And what? They say the secret to their long life is that they're still in love. After 73 years of marriage. And I find that inspiring. But, you know, one of the things that's happened with them is that every turn in the road could have been the last turn, but it isn't. And I've examined why. Why? Why isn't it the last turn in the road? And some of it has to do with the spirituality of the doctors they've encountered. And I'm not saying they're all religious, but they all seem to be in touch with this idea. There's a commonality of among doctors who understand how precious the human spirit is.
That's amazing. I mean, not many people have both parents that live to be that age. What else do you credit that for? I mean, what's their lifestyle like? Were they doing all the right things and none of the bad things, or did they just win the lottery in terms of genetics?
That's a great question, Jason. There's a lot to unpack there. I think genetics is part of it. I think my mother keeps very thin and has a very economical life. And she's emotionally very positive. She always has been. Things don't weigh her down. She doesn't get overwhelmed with stress. She doesn't eat or sleep very much, but she's always looking at the positive angle of something. That has kept her going. That plus the genetics. She's spry. She's spry at 100. My father.
Well, wait, let's stay on your mom for a second. Everybody that tells me says, hey, Jason, you need to sleep more. You know, I sleep 6-7 hours and I usually feel pretty good. I can go like one night with maybe 3 hours, but I'm not like Donald Trump, who's, I don't know if the guy ever goes to sleep, is amazing. But when you say your mom doesn't get a whole lot of sleep and she's living to 100, how much sleep is she getting?
She's probably getting 6 hours of sleep. I don't know. You know, she's one of those people who claims I was up all night, but then when you go to see her, she's sleeping when you see her. So nobody can actually tell how much my mother sleeps. She claims she doesn't sleep at all.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But by the way, health-wise, I got to answer your question, and I say everybody out there, all of your listeners should be having 7 hours of sleep. That's what we should be shooting for, 7 hours. That's the magic number, because we need deep sleep, and you can't have sleep where you go in and out of sleep. That's no good. It needs to be a sustained 7 hours, even if it's 3 hours and then you get up and then 4 hours, but that's sustained. But, you know, where you're up every 10 minutes is not sustained, and I don't think 6 hours is enough for most people. Now, again, the president may disagree with me on this. I think he gets 4, but I think 7.
Well, he's supernatural that way. I don't know if anybody can compare and the mental acuity that he brings to it, stress that he brings to it, it's just unbelievable. All right, but let's keep going. So your dad, how's your dad different?
Well, my dad has got a lot of personal courage and fearlessness, and he's not driven by fear, and he has a matter-of-factness and an acceptance of things that reminds me of someone in my book. If I could bring up the character from my book, I know you asked me about that, but it reminds me of Bob Montgomery. Bob Montgomery is the chief of surgery at NYU, and he's sustained over 30 cardiac arrests in his life. He's had an implantable defibrillator put in many years ago, one of the first, and was told he couldn't operate anymore. So he went to Oxford. He was a resident at Johns Hopkins at the time, went to Oxford in England and got a degree in immunology, a PhD, which he now uses to guide his pig transplants that he does. He's a pioneer in transplant surgery and does, you know, pig organ transplants now, and is a pioneer in kidney transplants, period. He developed a lottery system for it. He's an amazing, amazing, larger-than-life figure, married to Denise Graves, the famous opera singer. And he goes around the world doing extreme exercise, climbing mountains in Patagonia. I mean, this guy is larger-than-life, but he inherited a bad heart. And he ended up with one of the first defibrillators and then eventually a heart transplant with a hepatitis C heart and then came back. But what was interesting about him when I interviewed him is that he has a calmness about him, a matter of factness, saying each day is a gift. I'm looking at it from the 30,000 foot view. I don't know how many more days I have. Of course, he's doing well with the new heart, but he had so many days where, you know, again, cardiac arrest, in a coma, defibrillator going off. There was an amazing story in the book where before his heart transplant, one day outside his house, there was a car wreck, and he went to save a little baby in the car. He dove into the car to save this little baby and has a cardiac arrest, and the emergency responders had to pull him out and pull the baby out.
Oh, my goodness. I hope they both made it. Well, he did, but did the baby
The baby did fine. But, you know, luckily. But then he had that defibrillator tested in equipment very similar to the OR, and they let him back in the OR, and he was operating before he had to have the heart transplant. He was in Patagonia climbing mountains with his son, and he ended up in a coma with a sepsis infection. And the other three people in the ICU died. He survived, but he was in a coma for a month, and he dreamt that he was a surgeon from the 1800s operating with ether and no antibiotics. And he went through in his head the daily endeavors of being a surgeon in the late 1800s. He woke up and he said, wait a minute, Jason, he said, wait a minute. I don't know anything about that period of time. I haven't read a single book about that. So he started reading what he had dreamt, and every single detail was accurate. It was a visitation that he was undergoing. So my father has that same kind of spirit, going through being put on a ventilator at the age of 98, to dialysis since the age of 98. He goes, matter of fact, you know any other 102-year-olds that are getting dialysis three times a week?
No.
I mean, and he's totally with it. I said to him, Dad, what's the secret of your 102 years? And he says, Mark, when they throw a punch at you, duck. And I said, Dad, why didn't you ever tell me that? I'm getting hit in the face constantly here.
he thought you'd learn to duck after a few of those punches. So that's funny. That is really funny. Okay, so you're growing up. You're a few miles from where Donald Trump grew up. You're out there in Queens. You playing sports? You a nerd? How are you growing up? You painting with your sister? What's going on?
No, my sister was totally separate. I think she went to painting because I went to writing. When I was 10 years old, I wrote an essay called The Diligence and Frugality of Benjamin Franklin that won me a state award. I won an award for that. And that got me off to the races writing. And when I was in high school, I published some poems, and I published a short story, and I knew I wanted to be a writer. And when I graduated my senior year of high school, I insisted that why is it only the girls in the class get to compete for the Betty Crocker Award, the state Betty Crocker Award. So I said, why can't I compete for that? So I took the exam to win that, even though they had like years of homemaking in high school to inform them. And I won. I actually won. So I received the award at graduation, and all the guys in the class stood up and gave me a standing ovation.
So you are Mr. Betty Crocker? What is that? What it's called? What's
yeah, I mean, I don't
called?
I don't know how I lived that down. I guess, but I have to tell you, all this many years later, I don't know how I won anything. I'm not very good at color coordination or figuring out what lampshades to use or anything about drapes. Or cooking. That's not my thing. I married someone who's really great with that, but not me.
Well, you must know something about cooking if you're winning the Betty Crocker Award in high school. That's I'm going to bring that up, I think, every time I'm on air with you. You learn things in podcasts. That's an amazing feat.
Well, I wish it had sustained itself. Do you do any cooking at home, Jason?
No, I can make a pizza. I make popcorn really well. Like, I love popcorn, so I can do that. But no, not anything that would be in the realm of being a chef. My wife is a very good cook, and you know I've got it very good that way. But no. All right, so you go and win this award. You're coming out of high school. And then what did you decide to do?
Well, I went to Brown University, and I wanted to be a writer, so I trained in writing. And one of the things I believe, although I cannot market this or convince other people, is that you're better off starting in one place and ending up in another place, because then you combine the places, and you end up with a through theme that's a little more expanded. So I started out as a writer. I took graduate writing at Brown in addition to undergraduate. I published some things. I wrote some plays, and then I got out, I started working on a novel. That's not the novel that I ended up publishing. That was later on. But in the middle of all that, I said, I'm going to get hemorrhoids sitting here writing 24 hours a day. I need a profession that's a little more outreach. So after about a year, somebody was going to medical school, a dear friend of mine, and said to me, hey, Mark, there's a cushy job doing research out here at Stony Brook. You don't have to do much. You're just measuring nitrogen content. I go, what do I know about that? He says, yeah, but the office you have is looking out over Long Island Sound. You can write your poems. So I went out there, and I did my writing on the side. I did this job, and I did really well at it. So I took the science courses I need to get into medical school. And then I applied. And then I went to medical school in Buffalo, kept writing, kept doing both. I really liked medical school in Buffalo because it was seven different hospitals, all different kinds of hospitals. I liked being in a, I like second cities, Jason. I like Providence for Brown and I like Buffalo for med school because they're not under the big pressure of the main city. I mean, look at this city now falling apart with Mamdani about to get in, you know? Everybody going to move to Florida. I mean, you know, who needs this pressure? It's why I now have a house out in Eastern Long Island. I go there as often as I can to hide. I'm not into the big pressure of number one cities like Boston or like New York. And I like Providence and I like Buffalo.
You're listening to the Jason in the House podcast. More with Dr. Mark Siegel right after this.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Redding Kia is celebrating this season with joy, gratitude, and incredible year-end savings. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we're giving a heartfelt thank you to our veterans and the brave men and women of our military. Since 2006, Redding Kia has been your trusted hometown dealership. During our holiday sales event, take home a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage. There's always a military incentive rebate at Redding Kia. Visit us at 418 East Cypress Avenue or anytime at reddingkia.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join the heartbeat of our county every Monday at 6:35 a.m. on KCNR with the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief brings clear, local-focused updates and heartfelt discussions that unite our community. Got a story to share? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to drop a DM. The Town Hall Brief, your community's voice for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The Redding Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Redding. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Redding, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Redding, we invite you to join us. Visit RedingChamber.com to learn more.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
News.
This is Jason in the house.
What was it about medicine that you thought, oh, yeah, I got an aptitude? And, you know, people tend to gravitate to where they do well, what they like, what they enjoy, what they get satisfied in. What was that satisfaction? What was it about medical school? And then how did you focus? Once you get into medical school, you go 100 different directions. So what pushed you in the direction that you did go?
So medical school I chose because I felt writing is too much inside your own head. And then I thought I might as well develop an angle to inform that. You know, right now my oldest son is a producer, and he's doing really well at it. He's not at Fox, but he's doing really well at it. And I keep telling him, go to law school, because you can still be a producer, but it informs you. I felt that way about medicine. I felt like it was giving me a lane that I could use for my writing, in addition to being able to go outside myself and help others, which is a very special place to be, that people can find their secrets in you. Well, writers all want that, right? You can make them anonymous. I mean, there's a very famous story about William Carlos Williams, the great obstetrician, pediatrician, poet, who wrote a short story about a woman, and it was really nasty, Jason. So okay. She sued him, and he lost, and he said, I'm glad to pay you, because at least it shows I got this right. And, you know, I got the rendering right. And that's how I feel about writing and doctoring together. They bring me inside people's lives. I get to have a skill to help people, and then I also learn about people in a privileged vantage point. People tell me stuff they would never tell to most people.
So the mental aspect of it, I mean, it's not everybody has the capacity to internalize and take that pressure. And then, you know, you want to do good. I'm sure every doctor, you know, wants to do the right thing, but not everybody can handle that. And, you know, some of us get a little queasy with something. So what was it about your skill set that allowed you to do that?
You're challenged on the first day of medical school. You don't really know this in advance of it, and I've written about this extensively. You walk into an anatomy lab, and you're faced with a cadaver, and you have to realize that there's a finality to that, and here you are learning from some body that's no longer a person. That is such a shock to the system. It changes you irreversibly. And from that moment on, you're able to detach from the humanity of your, hopefully the humanity of your being a doctor, to a certain dispassionate distance that you need to perform your skills. It's a very rare and important combination of humanity and dehumanization.
Interesting. So tell me about this novel that you say you're doing the medical school, but you still end up still writing this novel. What was the novel?
The novel was called Bellevue because I trained in the middle of the AIDS era, and I felt that there was a very important and hallucinatory aspect to sleeplessness among the wave of HIV patients and trying to save them and the struggle to save them. And one of the characters in my novel doesn't make it, and others do. And so it's kind of like The House of God Part 2. There's wheelchair philosophers in there. There's, you know, unrequited love. There's the battle against AIDS going on. And it's both historical, and it takes place in Bellevue Hospital, which is itself a historical place, because the motto of Bellevue is we take all comers.
Tell me about where you see medicine today, because AI is going to change, by all accounts, it's going to change pretty much every aspect of our life. Artificial intelligence, how do you see that playing out in medicine? There's going to be good, but inevitably there's maybe going to be some bad along the ways.
You know, the guy who's inspired me on this whole topic is Porter Berry, our head of digital, who was way ahead of anybody else on this. And he saw this coming down the road years ago, and he said, Mark, put your eye on this, and I have. And I'm glad I did, because other countries like Japan are ahead of us, and I think it's pure gold. I think that the paranoia that it's going to take over is wrong, because doctors are always going to be in the pilot seat, and the AI is the co-pilot. And the more I interview people that are experts in this area, the more I see that. You know, you're worried about AI taking over the doctor-patient relationship? Not so. AI records the doctor-patient relationship and spews back a transcript that you then figure out what to do with. AI gives you diagnostic clues you may have missed. AI may be able to look at a chest CAT scan that shows to areas before they become cancer, tells you what to keep an eye on. Same with a mammogram. Same with an echocardiogram. AI is an extra set of eyes that are extremely acute. AI informing the patient, like ChatGPT, who then comes in with a slew of answers to doctors. Jason, we've been dealing with that with the internet already for many, many years, and I don't find that to be a problem. You know, I'm an advisor. I'm not somebody's father. I'm an advisor. So if somebody comes in with information and they want my advice, I give it. That's it.
Interesting. Interesting. What do you see the fundamental mistake that young people make early in their lives? Is it diet? Is it what is, if you could go back and kind of guide that 16-year-old, 18-year-old who's turning the corner and starting to become independent, what do they need to know about their own health that you see is missing?
I think it's right now the biggest answer to that is dissociation, that there's not enough socialization, that people are too much on social media, that they're too much on their phones, that they were separated from each other during the pandemic, that has increased, that cannabis makes that worse. There's a big cannabis epidemic going on in our country, especially among our young, that makes it worse. I think we need more to readdress the issue of personal interaction and what it brings to us. Friendships. Better relationships with family, not everybody sitting at the dinner table, each on their own phone, doing things with nature, going back to basics. I think we've gone way too much in the direction of technology.
Oh, amen to that, that's for sure. All right, so this book, Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Was there a specific spark that said, hey, look, I'm a writer, I know how to write, but this is one I really want to do because it's just out, but what spark did it do it?
Well, a lot of things did. One is that our CEO is a big believer in miracles, and she's inspired it. When I started to get going on this, I realized that there was the strict Catholic definition of what a medical miracle was, and I wasn't interested in that because I thought that that's a very narrow lane. It may be true, and it is represented in my book, Jason. There's a chapter on Lourdes in my book, and I interviewed the top doctor in Lourdes, who's very religious, but he sees himself as just a witness. But that's just the narrow lane. And I think I was inspired by about two or three different things. One, Cardinal Dolan says to me, when I interviewed him, that I believe in soft miracles, he says, where there's divine intervention, but there's also great doctoring. So he likes to say, my niece was saved by a combination of prayer and Dr. Berganelli. You know, so in other words, there's a combination of doctors being the hands of God and faith and prayer and God visiting us in dreams and the comfort of knowing that there's a creator who makes all the bigger decisions. So it's not all in our hands. And I also love the idea from the Old Testament of accumulations of coincidences. We saw that with Aaron and his staff. And I started to learn more and more about different ways that miracles represent. Dolan said to me, God brings you the miracles he wants you to have, not necessarily the ones you're praying for. And I thought, what does that mean? And I started looking back over the Bible, and I found great stories about that. How Hannah is praying for a child because she's 40 years old and has never had a child, and her sister has several children, and she's jealous. And she prays and prays and prays, and God answers her with a child, Samuel. But he didn't give her Samuel because she was praying for Samuel. He gave her Samuel because Samuel was going to go on to be a great prophet, and he already knew it. The same with Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is getting a boil that he's going to die. And Isaiah says, you're going to die from this. And Hezekiah goes right to God and he prays to God. And God says, you're not going to die. I'm going to cure you for this because you're going to go on to have another son. And he does. So, of course, God overrules a prophet any time. And Hezekiah's son goes on to be a bad king, just like his father had been a bad king. And that's why Hezekiah was afraid to have children. But ironically, he marries Isaiah's daughter and has that bad son that he was afraid to have, but that's destiny, and that shows God is in charge. In one of the stories in my book during the Holocaust, Isaac Mittelman is praying to God on Yom Kippur, our holiest day, and the Hungarian soldiers in the labor camp where he is find him, and they string him up from a tree, and somehow he manages to survive the frost overnight. So they put him in the hospital, and they watch his arm fester, and they just let him suffer. Eventually, they cut it off without any anesthesia, and he's there, and suddenly the Allies are coming. He hears them overhead, so he prays to God our holiest prayer, and as he says, the Lord is one, bombs hit the hospital, and everybody in the hospital dies but him. Because God has intervened. So he puts on Hungarian soldier clothing, and he goes to Budapest. And in Budapest, he survives the war. When the Allies come, they almost shoot him for speaking Hungarian and dressing in Hungarian soldier clothes. But they barely recognize him in time. After the war, he goes on to become a great rabbi. So I say to his son, why did he survive? And this is the same theme. He survived because God knew that he was going to go on to have an important life. That's why the miracle was performed. God performs the miracles he wants us to have.
You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
More Jason in the House next.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A doctor from Brazil who dresses his patients up in superhero costumes to make them feel comfortable before surgery makes today's Dean's List. Dr. Leandro B. Guimarães is an ENT, and he remembers one of his patients a few years ago who was just two and was so scared as she was heading into the operating room that she could not stop crying. So he made a promise to himself that he would do everything he could to make sure his littlest patients were as comfortable and strong as they could be. His idea was to have superhero costumes that they could wear in the hospital. The kids get to pick which one, and then he tells them they will go in flying as he helps them get stronger. The doctor also encourages parents to join them in the operating room if the child is still nervous, but so far, everything seems to be working. He also runs alongside to help them feel less scared and records the video to show their families how brave they were. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on 10.
Meta is getting ready to spend a lot of money in the United States. The social media and AI company behind Facebook and Instagram, among other social apps, will be investing $600 billion into tech infrastructure and jobs in the U.S. over the coming 3 years. Those data centers will be focused on supplying the computing power behind Meta's artificial intelligence products, all which the company foresees becoming integral to their users' experiences. Building the data infrastructure needed to support AI is an an expensive and lengthy undertaking. Meta already previously inked a deal to spend $27 billion to fund a data center in Louisiana, its largest such facility in the world. But even still, many of these high-tech companies leading the foray into American AI say the country lacks infrastructure for both data hosting and power generation enough to keep those data centers functioning. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing by Dr. Mark Siegel. It's out now. Doctor, before we let you go, I usually ask some basic questions, some rapid questions. I hope you're ready for this.
Of course.
So, pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Good answer. You know, the judges really like
it. Separately different things. I mean, I don't even like pineapples. I like pizza.
Yeah. There you go. See? Pineapples should be separate. Yes. Agreed. That was good. What was your first concert?
My first concert was a Bruce Springsteen concert in the mid to late 70s.
Nice.
And I became a big Springsteen fan. I actually was lucky enough to be tracking Dylan and Springsteen at the right time. I'm a post-Beatles generation, but I was tracking Springsteen and the Beatles Springsteen and Dylan at the right time. I'm still a huge Dylan fan. I thought that movie was pretty good. I thought that movie was actually amazing. That he was able to pull off Dylan, I thought was amazing.
Yeah, that was out fairly recently. And I recently, with my wife, got to do one of the things on my bucket list. And that is we went to San Antonio to see Paul McCartney live. And, you know, I think he's 83, 84 years old. He was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. What a concert. And we noticed that he does this concert nearly 3 hours long. Didn't even take a sip of water. It was unbelievable.
You know, I actually watched that documentary about him recently, and it reminded me about something about McCartney that may be the most amazing thing of all, which is that he doesn't read music. It's almost like he's above reading music. I mean, him and Lennon together, you talk about miracles. Him and Lennon coming together, the two greatest musicians maybe in hundreds of years. And I mean, McCartney is so, so good. A voice from God, but also writes great music. I mean, and without reading music.
It really, I know that about him as well. That's just stunning. You would think, maybe I should learn this. You know, but he doesn't. And I'm convinced that he could take any topic, any subject, anything, and write a song that people would tap their foot to and enjoy. I mean, he started playing some of those songs, and you know, what's that song? Somebody's knocking at the door, somebody's ringing the bell, you know, open the door and let them in.
That's a great song.
It's a great song, but if you think about, I mean, there's all kinds of depth to it. Okay, but if you look at it on just the surface, somebody's knocking on the door, all right. You know, but he told this one story where he and George Harrison are sitting around strumming some ukuleles, and they look up on this poster, which is up on his wall, and it had a few words. He said, so we wrote those down. We wrote a song about it. Here it is. And I just like, oh, my gosh. And it was one of his famous songs. I can't even remember which song it was. And I thought, all right, you could write a hit song about anything. An incredible talent. And
I have a question
concert.
For you about it.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Jason. So here's my question about the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's clear that Ringo was overlooked, and he wrote some pretty good songs. It's clear after the Beatles broke up that Imagine shows that John Lennon is beyond belief. That may be the greatest rock song ever written. But I think that George Harrison gets short shrift because I think While My Guitar Gently Weeps may be one of the top five songs ever written. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And during this concert, Paul McCartney went way out of his way to honor both George Harrison and John Lennon, both of which, you know, are no longer with us. And I thought that was, I think that the four of them coming together is truly one of the miracles into itself, because they are all incredibly super talented. And the way George Harrison was attacked and stabbed and survived and then had to fight cancer, I mean, that was That was a hard ending to an incredible life. And, of course, John Lennon being assassinated. I mean, these guys have been through some stuff. But the idea that we still have a vibrant Paul McCartney with us is, that's why I really went out of my way with my wife, Julie, to go see him in concert. Wow, I'm so glad we did.
It was palpable, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, you're with 50,000 people just rocking out. It was really fun. I didn't mean to get off on that for this podcast. We could probably do a podcast. You know who's really into this? Mark Thiessen. Mark Thiessen, I did a podcast with him. He is more into concerts than anybody I've ever met. So for another day, we can have a more in-depth discussion about that. But Dr. Siegel, congratulations on the book. I need to ask you one more question, though.
Oh.
Best advice you ever got?
The best advice I ever got is to let things play out and to not constantly try to change the trajectory of things. I'm still learning that lesson. I think it's not my nature. My nature is to seize on a problem and try to alter its course in the direction I want. Now, that's a good thing for a doctor, by the way.
Right.
But it's not as good a thing for a writer or a TV personality. We work with great producers. One of the things about that is, I think I've evolved in a direction, and I bet you have too, Jason, where you understand how great the talent is of the people who we work with, the people behind the camera.
Yeah. No, there's some really smart, talented people who do amazing things. You never see them, never hear them, but without them, you're right. These things would never happen and come to fruition, and they rise to the top of their game as well. But yeah, absolutely. No, it's great advice. Congratulations on the book. What book number is this for you?
This is my seventh book, and then I'm doing a novel after this, but this is my most important book by far, because I got to interview some amazing people, and this is another bit of advice. I let the book take its own course, because as I interviewed them, my publisher at Harper was saying, try to figure out the number one miracle in each chapter. But the joke we had between us was that as the chapter evolved, it was never the miracle I was expecting. It was always a different miracle. She said in my chapter about October 7th, which is an incredible story of survival and courage and grit and luck, about October 7th, a physician survives having her house burned down by Hamas, and she actually saves her 9-month-old baby by breastfeeding the baby. It's such an amazing story. She was in a coma for a month. But the publisher says the miracle is actually the burn cream that they used to keep, you know, the burns from consuming them. It's brand new. And by the way, Jason, it's made from pineapples in China. And it got approved in Israel and now here in the United States. But it's an amazing miracle cream that saved the lives of these people.
Yeah, I don't need that on pizza, but hey, pineapple's coming for a full circle. So there we go. All right, Dr. Siegel, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Great to be with you, Jason. Thank you.
All right, I want to thank Dr. Mark Siegel. Great guy. Love his enthusiasm. I appreciate him writing this down. I didn't realize he's such a prolific writer. That'll make it all the better. It's out now. You can get the book. So, Dr. Mark Siegel, hope everybody has the most wonderful of Thanksgivings. And if you're looking back on this, remember how great Thanksgivings are. They're just the best holiday. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been the Jason in the House podcast. Please make sure you rate it, subscribe to it, and remind people, you go through Apple, go through Amazon, you can get this subscription for free. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty detail.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Russian President Putin says he views U.S. plans to end the war in Ukraine as a starting point for talks. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Ahead of this coming week's Moscow visit by U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, the Russian leader insisted that Ukrainian forces must withdraw or face Russia's larger army. Putin views President Trump's proposed peace plan as a discussion framework, not a draft agreement. Kremlin officials have had little to say so far about the peace plan that was put forward last week by the president. Since launching the invasion, Putin has shown no willingness to budge from his goals in Ukraine, despite Donald Trump's push for a settlement. Greg Clugston, Washington.
South Africa will not be allowed to attend next year's G20 summit in the United States.
President Trump says he's barring South Africa from attending the 2026 summit because South Africa refused to hand over the G20 hosting responsibilities to a senior representative of the U.S. Embassy in South Africa when the summit ended. And he says he stopped all payments and subsidies to South Africa. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says he considered the U.S. decision to appoint a local embassy official for the G20 handover as an insult, and he calls Trump's statement regrettable. I'm Donna Warder.
Big snowstorm going on in the Midwest and Great Lakes area. It's affecting Thanksgiving travelers trying to get home to start the work week. The National Weather Service reports winter storm warnings from North Dakota to Ohio and many inches of snow on the way. Ukraine has used naval drones to strike two Russian oil tankers in the Black Sea. An official from Ukraine Security Services tells the AP that the tankers Karos and Virat are part of Russia's shadow fleet avoiding sanctions. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Cybercrime spikes during the holidays, especially around Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Falling victim to a scam is the last thing anyone needs. That's why now is the perfect time to protect yourself and your family with Webroot Total Protection. Keep your devices safe, your identity secure, and your privacy locked down. Right now, you can get 75% off Webroot Total Protection at webroot.com/MikeG. That's 75% off, but only for a limited time. Black Friday through Cyber Monday is the busiest shopping time of the year. For hackers and identity thieves, it's basically the Super Bowl. Don't wait around until something goes wrong. Get protected now. With this exclusive discount, Webroot Total Protection is less than $50 for the whole year. That's all-in-one protection. Devices, identity, privacy, even backup for under $50. Peace of mind for $50? Honestly, that might be the best gift you give yourself this year. Go to webroot.com/MikeG for 75% off, but only for a limited time.
Despite some wider economic uncertainty hovering over the Christmas season, shoppers turned out in big numbers on Black Friday, spending billions of dollars in stores and online. Adobe Analytics, which tracks e-commerce, says U.S. consumers spent nearly $12 billion online Friday, marking a 9.1% jump from last year. They also spent a record $6.4 billion online on Thanksgiving Day, per Adobe. In-store traffic has continued to dwindle, however. Northwestern University has agreed to pay $75 million to the U.S. the government, that is, in a deal with the Trump administration that will end a series of investigations into on-campus anti-Semitism and restore hundreds of millions of dollars in federal research funding. President Trump had cut off about $800 million in grants to Northwestern in a standoff that contributed to the resignation back in September of University President Michael Schill. This is townhall.com. A renowned British playwright has passed away.
Tom Stoppard, who won an Academy Award for the screenplay for 1998 Shakespeare in Love, has died. He was 88 years old. In a statement released on Saturday, United Agents said that Stoppard died peacefully at his home in Dorset in southern England, surrounded by his family. They said the playwright will be remembered for his works, for their brilliance and humanity, and for his wit and generosity of spirit, and his profound love of the English language. They added, "It was an honor to work with Tom and to know him." I'm Karen Chamas.
Today is Sunday, November the 30th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including filmmaker Woody Allen. He is 90 years old. Historian Michael Beschloss turns 70 today. Actor and filmmaker Ben Stiller is 60. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, 54. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and the Reading Ballet Theater as they make the holidays come alive with a truly magical performance of the Nutcracker. This beloved holiday tradition will create lasting family memories as our talented local dancers bring this timeless classic to life on the Shasta College stage. Presented by the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and Aaron's Home, the Nutcracker runs December 18th through the 20th at the Shasta College Theater. Get your tickets today at theReadingArtsProject.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
On November 24th, a federal judge dismissed two separate criminal charges brought against former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James after ruling that the prosecutor responsible for the charges, Lindsey Halligan, was appointed unlawfully. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt reacted to the news during a press gaggle at the White House.
Lindsey Halligan was legally appointed, and that's the administration's position. I know there was a judge who was clearly trying to shield Letitia James and James Comey from receiving accountability, and that's why they took this unprecedented action to throw away the indictments against these two individuals. But the Department of Justice will be appealing very soon, and it is our position that Lindsey Halligan is extremely qualified for this position, but more importantly, was legally appointed to it.
Meanwhile, overseas, the Russia-Ukraine war could potentially come to a close sooner than expected after Ukrainian President Zelensky agreed to the core terms of the peace plan put forth by President Trump. But there are some differences here still being ironed out. Lots to discuss. Let's bring in our panel, like former State Department spokesperson Marie Harf, AEI resident fellow and former White House speechwriter Mark Thiessen, and Fox News Washington-based correspondent Mark Meredith. Mark Thiessen, let me start with you. The prospect of this actually working, this peace deal, you know, we've heard just bits and pieces. There was a lot of uproar about the 28-point plan at the beginning, that maybe it was too favorable to Russia. Then there was efforts in Ukraine to kind of get to something they could agree to in Geneva. It seems like they may be close.
It does seem like they may be close. And look, the opening, that was the opening bid, which was laying out some of Russia's requests. It was negotiated differently, and now it's, and I think the Ukrainians are actually very happy with how this is turning out. Look, the most important part of it, though, Brett, is the security guarantees, right? We're talking about an Article 5 commitment that the Trump administration is offering for Ukraine, and also we need to arm the Ukrainians, probably even more than if the war were continuing, because we don't want to have to ever deliver on that Article 5 commitment. We want the Ukrainians to be so strong militarily that Putin will never even think of restarting this war. And what Putin's gambit here is if he does agree to peace, is he just wants to pause this, right? He invaded under Obama, then he stopped under Trump, then he invaded under Biden, then now he's talking about stopping under Trump. He's going to start again, unless we make it impossible for him to do so. And so that's the key to having a lasting peace, is making it impossible for him to wait out Donald Trump and resume his conquest of Ukraine.
Yeah, and Marie, the Article 5 Mark is referring to deals with NATO, but this would be Article 5 in principle only, not inside NATO. It would be a defense. If Putin attacks again, we would come to their defense.
That's right. I mean, not being part of NATO is a significant difference. And that's been a core question around Ukraine since the beginning, well, since for a long time, actually, since before the war started. The other party that Mark didn't mention or focus in on as much is our partners in Europe, right? It's not just the Ukrainians. It's not just the Russians. I think for the past week or so, the Europeans have felt left out of this conversation that they felt like was mainly Russia and the U.S. I think in the last 24 to 48 hours, they're feeling a little bit better about the negotiations, a little bit better about what they've heard. But going forward, if we are going to have a unified front against Russia to, as Mark said, prevent them from ever reinvading, that needs to include Europe, and we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, and Mark Meredith, it seems that the White House is expressing optimism cautiously, but they are expressing optimism.
Right, you are. And the president himself has been the one that's been most vocal. We heard from him in the Rose Garden during the Turkey pardoning ceremony, where he said that they are making tremendous progress. Of course, Trump speaks so often in these big words, in the sense that things are going to be great. And obviously, he is very eager to see this war come to an end. And we've also seen Vice President Vance be just as vocal about this, saying that this has to end in order for the world to get back and to accomplish things together. The president, though, is also making it very clear he doesn't want Zelensky just zipping it over to Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving weekend. In fact, he said he's not going to sit down with Zelensky or Putin at the moment. Instead, he's dispatching senior aides. Steve Witkoff's going to go to Moscow. We know that the Army Secretary is going to deal with the Ukrainians. But there was talk that maybe Zelensky was going to pop up in Washington or in Florida, and now that is no longer the case. And the president has said that he's making sure his entire team, from the Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles, down to Secretary Rubio, are fully involved in what's happening. And to Marie's other point, it is Europe that is another huge X factor in all of this, because all it takes is the Europeans telling Zelensky and his team, don't sign this. That completely could put everything up at a hold at this point.
Mark Thiessen, if that happened, it would be a major feather in the president's cap.
Oh, my gosh, it would be a major feather in his cap, even if it happened after Turkey Day. Anytime it would happen, it would be a major feather in his cap. I mean, if you think about the record that he's put together over the last year, this would be the final piece in probably the greatest peacemaking presidency in modern times. But there's a lot between here and there. Normally in these negotiations, what you do is you negotiate the stuff that's easy to agree on, and then it's the hard stuff at the end. And again, we have no indication that Vladimir Putin really intends to sign this. But if he doesn't sign it, and if the U.S. and Ukraine agree on a deal, and then Putin says no, then he's the obstacle to peace, and Donald Trump will come down on him like a ton of bricks. We've already got incredibly tough sanctions. We got India has stopped buying Russian oil. China is suspending its Russian oil purchases. And if he were to sign that sanctions bill from Congress and also allow Tomahawks to take out Russian energy facilities and bombing bases and drone factories, Putin would be brought to his knees in pretty short order. So the pressure is really on Vladimir Putin.
It hasn't been, Marie. It hasn't been full court press pressure on Vladimir Putin as of yet. There's been some, to Mark's point. India and China has pulled back a bit, but there are many more levers that could be pulled, and I assume that's part of this negotiation.
That's right. There are many more levers, and you see Congress from both sides of the aisle having conversations, real conversations about them playing a role in upping the ante here when it comes to Russia and Russian sanctions. There's a lot of appetite on both sides of the aisle to increase some of that pressure. But the question at the end of the day is there any pressure that's enough, absent battlefield losses, for Putin to say yes here? And he has staked so much of his leadership on this war that I am dubious that there's anything that would get him to say yes, but the destruction is so bad. They continue to bomb, you know, far into Ukraine, in Kyiv, all across the country that, you know, kudos to the president's team for trying. I don't want to give too much away to Russia if we end up getting to a deal, but I want this war to end, and we'll see if some of those additional pressure levers come to bear if Putin does not say yes pretty soon as well.
Yeah, and last thing on this topic, Mark, the president seems committed to have his team, you know, out and about and doing this. He, you know, took an active role going to Alaska to meet with Putin. There was not a lot of there after that. In fact, Putin increased attacks. Then Putin met with Chinese President Xi Jinping and increased attacks again. And so there, maybe this is a different attempt by President Trump to do it differently.
Brett, I would think you're right, because obviously that if there were to be any sort of meeting again, the expectation would be is, well, now the peace has to happen. You've had the meetings with all of the principals. Are you going to get a deal done or not? And to what Maria and Mark were also speaking about, that this has continued to drag on a lot longer than maybe even the White House originally thought once they got a handle of what was happening with negotiations. For the Russians, I tend to agree with Maria here. You don't get the sense that they are just ready to knock this all out before the end of the holiday. Even Lavrov, their foreign minister, said that they were still waiting for more details from the Americans, but they were communicating. You almost have to wonder how much of this will just kind of be dragged along week by week. But I take your point, Brett. It is the holidays, so we'll be thankful if a war could come to an end sooner rather than later.
Well, we've seen these cases against Comey, Letitia James be challenged, dismissed by a federal judge. There's an appeal, Mark Thiessen, going on that the DOJ says they're going to do, defending Lindsey Halligan and her appointment as a U.S. attorney. And at the same time, you have this effort by the Department of War to go potentially after Arizona Senator Mark Kelly for being a part of this video where they say do not follow illegal orders. Where do you think this all goes? And is this a benefit for the president and his base, or is this kind of on the line of what they should be doing?
So two things. One, I thought the video that the senators and congressmen put out was absolutely outrageous. Because every officer is trained and knows that if they suspect that an order is illegal, they go to their JAG officer and ask, right? And you can't have a situation where you're encouraging troops to disobey orders and make individual judgments on every single thing that they're being asked. So it was really pushing for insubordination. That said, it's not sedition. In case of Kelly, because he's a retired officer, you could potentially, I mean, there is a path to punishing him potentially or court-martialing him. I just think that the president's original idea of the best revenge is success is the way to go on all these things. And I think if he had just come out and said, this is outrageous, and not gone the extra step of calling for the death penalty and trials and all the rest of it, 90% of America would have agreed with him. So I just think it's an overstep.
And Maria, Democrats and maybe Senator Kelly could be somehow emboldened by this effort, potentially, politically.
Right. I mean, Mark gives very good political advice. The problem is President Trump always goes three steps too far, right? He can't ever just play same straight. And I think that his outrageous response to this got people across the political spectrum really critical of him. I mean, look, there's a lot that's happened in these last, let's say, months that it feels like President Trump is really kind of back on his heels and he's lashing out a little bit. The huge Democratic victories in the elections, including in red parts of bluer purplish states earlier in November. One of his key allies turning on him, resigning from Congress.
other people talking about resigning, she's sort of the canary in the coal mine, right? These cases against Comey and Letitia James being dropped. So you have this context where the president, it seems like, feels really under attack right now and back on his heels. His numbers, even in our Fox News polls, really bad. So this is, I think, part of how you see Trump responding. And unfortunately, I think as he feels more under threat, you're going to see more of those kinds of responses from him.
And Mark Meredith, you know, the White House manages oftentimes to pull a rabbit out of a hat politically. As you head into 26, obviously a lot depends on where the economy is, how people feel about the economy, and a lot will determine that. But there may be other big plays outside of these foreign policy big maneuvers that happen.
Brett, you're absolutely right. The economy is going to be the number one, two, and three issue in next November's midterms. We already know that both Republicans in the House and Democrats in the House are eager to make that the issue front and center. Republicans, of course, are going to face a lot of questions since they are both in power in the White House and in the legislative branch. Democrats certainly believe that they can say this isn't just us, as Trump was blaming us a year ago. Look at where prices are now. The president is, of course, putting his spin on things, looking at where prices are for Thanksgiving dinner this year compared to years past. But there's already been that war of messaging of, well, what does that really include and what does that mean? Brett, you're right. I mean, after Christmas, how are people feeling about the job market? We haven't really gotten good job numbers now in months, thanks to the government shutdown. We don't really know where things stand. There's this question about who the next Fed chair is going to be. Are we going to see a rate cut in December? All of these issues are going to compound as we get closer and closer to midterm primaries in the spring. And you want to bet that'll be the number one topic we hear from every lawmaker, despite what may be happening in Russia, Ukraine, or what's happening with James Comey and Letitia James.
100%. All right, panel, thanks. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. From Marie, Mark, and Mark, I'm Brett Baer.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Take a pause.
Kennel cough is like the flu. You know, it goes around.
Dr. Michael Bailey, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, on the current surge of a potentially killer disease, kennel cough, also known as Bordetella. He says your dog should get the vaccine for it, but that vaccine is not always 100% effective.
Kennel cough can change its genetic pattern, and the vaccine, which may have been totally effective for it at one time, may not be as effective for it now.
Rumors have been going around on the internet that the kennel cough vaccine's worthless. But Dr. Bailey says if your dog does get kennel cough, the vaccine's going to make it milder. And as for pet vaccines in general, he says they're safe.
Talk to your veterinarian. Make sure they know what the circumstances are, and they're going to tailor any vaccine to your particular pet.
Take a pause till NATO Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A woman from South Carolina having a tough time, and the police officer who helped her get through it makes today's Dean's List. It started as a routine traffic stop when Deputy Sean Singleton pulled over Caitlin Riccini for speeding. Caitlin admits she was struggling that day and gave the deputy some attitude, telling him she's never trusted the police. Officer Singleton sensed some tension and asked if Caitlin was doing okay. That's when she broke down and said she was having a tough time these days trying to stay sober, having just left an abusive marriage, and wanting to take care of her young son while dealing with tremendous anxiety. Officer Singleton listened to her story and asked if he could give her a hug. She says she was close to giving up on her life, but after meeting Officer Singleton and his humanity, it reminded her she had a future worth fighting for. Caitlin says he helped save her life. Officer Singleton says he will always try to show mercy and grace when he can. That's his calling, and he hopes others will do the same. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say there was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
From Wall Street to Main Street, let's take a deeper look at the state of the U.S. economy, the cost of your Thanksgiving dinner this year. Brian Brandberg, co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. Brian, thanks for doing this.
Likewise,
listen,
Brian.
Just about 30,000 feet, first of all, where you see the U.S. economy right now as we head into the holiday season.
Yeah, it's an economy that I would say is sort of on its way out of an affordability crisis, but it's too early for a lot of people to feel that. So you just mentioned the producer price index inflation from September, 2.7%, okay? Is that 2%? Not quite, but it's a heck of a long way from 9%. So that's good news. So on the one hand, you've got some improvement in affordability. On the other hand, you've got a jobs picture that's just a little bit murky. The jobs numbers the past few months have been weak. And so even though the economy's growing pretty well, Brett, 3 to 4% over the past two quarters, people aren't seeing it in the jobs. That's where the decision becomes really difficult for the Fed. Okay, what do we do about that? Do we keep fighting inflation or do we try to improve the jobs picture? I think the Fed will focus more on jobs coming up in its next meeting.
Which means a cut, potentially. Let me ask you about Thanksgiving dinner, all these controversies about how it's written about and how you, what exactly the ingredients. Right. But the Farm Bureau has been doing this, and they put up their numbers for a family of 10. And this is the breakdown, 2023, 61, 17, 24, 58, 08, 25, 55, 18. And it kind of breaks down each thing. Bottom line, people are still feeling the food crunch on inflation when they go to the grocery store. Maybe a little bit cheaper, but it's not going to move the needle for a lot of families.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see the numbers going down, Brett. That's a 5% decrease, so that's good. I mean, it's not creating a lot of extra room in your budget for anything else. So I think the real question is, how fast do things get more affordable? It's happening, but it's happening slowly. That's where 2026 becomes so big, because you have Scott Bessent and Kevin Hassett talking about, look, taxes are going to come into play in 2026. You're going to see a bigger return. You're going to see lower taxes. The regulatory story's there. So 2026 needs to be a year where your wages grow much faster than inflation. And if they do, you'll feel like you're coming out of that affordability pit that we've been in for so long. It's going to be a big year. It's going to be a fun year to watch the economy.
Yeah. You mentioned the Fed. Of the picks that are on the board, we talked to Treasury Secretary Bessent about it. There are five of them. It may have been squeezed down from that since that time, but these are the five names. And the minutes from the last Fed meeting really had a divided discussion about a Fed cut based on the numbers. You're saying that the jobs are going to drive the day, which would mean another cut. And what does that mean? Is the market baking that in?
Yeah, I think the market's looking at that. The market looked at the inflation number that came out today and said, okay, that's pretty good. And they've looked at some comments recently from Fed officials, Mary Daly out in San Francisco, the latest to say, you know, I think we could do another cut in the near term. And so when she says that, what that has everyone thinking is actually Jay Powell might be in favor of another cut. So I think the market's tilting in that direction. But this is the most divided Fed we have seen in 30-plus years. So if you get a cut, Brett, it might come right down to the wire. We'll see what happens.
All right. Brian, as always, thank you.
You bet. Good to see you.
Audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In the 1970s and 80s, one of the most successful songwriting duos was Elton John and Bernie Taupin. Elton John discusses their music composing relationship.
He writes the lyrics first and gives them to me, and then I write the songs for them. In the old days, I would splice bits of verses out and cut things here and there. It's not so bad now, but it's always been lyrics first. Very, very rarely as I have sometimes suggested a title for a song. Maybe a melody, but Don't Go Breaking My Heart is the only one I can think of. And I enjoy that process. People say, you know, why don't you write your own lyrics? Well, I don't really want to. I enjoy writing with Bernie. I love it. And it's a magical, and he's one of my dearest friends, and I love him so much. But why would I want to change something that gives me so much pleasure?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com.
Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The nation's air traffic controllers went on strike on August 3, 1981, grounding about 7,000 daily flights. 3 days later, President Ronald Reagan took an unprecedented move to break the strike. He fired all 12,000 air traffic controllers in retaliation.
Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these employees. I am not participating in any strike against the government of the United States or any agency thereof. It is for this reason that I must tell those who fail to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law, and if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The Bible promises that God is close to the brokenhearted, that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, many say it is because churches need to minister more to the souls sitting in the pews. Author and evangelist Nick Bojicic.
A lot of us are not really having an honest audit check, an inventory of even just the brokenhearted within the four walls of the church, let alone trying to save the lost.
For 20 years, Bojicic has ministered to those in pain, knowing what it feels like to be angry with God over life circumstances. Born with no arms or legs, he almost committed suicide as a child, but the grace of God intervened. His book, Champions for the Brokenhearted, shows how to have faith in God's purpose and plan.
That's the epiphany, the revelation of realizing, I don't need to know the plan, I just need to believe that he has one.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
It also proudly ended the ridiculous Biden-era restrictions on artificial intelligence, and we will work closely with friends and partners like those in this room to build the largest, most powerful, most innovative AI ecosystem in the world, and we are going to work it so that you'll have a one approval process, not have to go through 50 states in the United States. You know, you can't go through 50 states. You have to get one approval.
President Trump wants to streamline the regulation process for artificial intelligence and powering artificial intelligence. That's one of the topics we want to discuss with Energy Secretary Chris Wright. Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Brett.
So about powering AI, it's one of the questions that comes up all the time as we see the expansion and what exactly is going to happen. What is needed and what did this do towards that goal?
With this pen, President Trump signed an historic mission. This is reminiscent of the Manhattan Project that brought World War II to an early and successful end, similar to the Apollo projects that put a man on the moon in 1969. This is an all-in national effort to take the power of AI and pair it with the 40,000 outstanding scientists and engineers at our national labs to use the world's largest supercomputers to advance innovation and science, to fix our rising energy costs, to give better economic opportunities for our citizens, to make longer and healthier lives possible. It's not incremental, Brett. It was transformative.
So it's like a moonshot for energy to be able to power the things that we think we're going to do with AI.
Energy, of course, is one of the great things we'll get out of it. But the project is really about applying AI to science and to engineering and to national security. What we've seen so far is AI applied to language, to search the internet to find things, to make businesses more efficient or deliver consumer services. This is to pivot over and use that same power, but to use the incredible data sets from our national labs to actually advance scientific progress, scientific discovery, engineering, solve the problem of our electricity grid, a creaky old system that's unstable and has become more expensive. We've got to use smarter science, smarter technology to advance things that better American lives. Yes, we need energy to do that. But that's just one of the enablers of AI. What President Trump signed today, launching this Genesis mission, is going to bring together industry, the national labs, data sets, all tied together in a closed-loop system to just rapidly advance the pace of scientific and engineering progress. It will be transformative, you will see in the coming years.
It's fascinating to hear about it, and it's a forward vision, but going back to the energy question, because everyone who talks about AI acknowledges that the U.S. may have an issue just finding the energy for all of these data centers. We did a whole series of stories on artificial intelligence, and that was one of the things that kept on coming up. Take a listen.
Data centers have become very large. So when you think about it, we need land that needs to be zoned, and then we need to get permits so that we can build these facilities, and then we need the electricity, and we need to bring more electricity.
The plans for the largest computing clusters to run the largest AI algorithms in the world in the not too distant future is in the range of 1 gigawatt to 5 gigawatts. 1 gigawatt is about one Hoover Dam worth of electricity. So imagine 5 Hoover Dams being used to just power one data center full of one company's AI. That's a future that we're headed towards quite quickly.
So how do we get that and still prevent people's electricity costs and energy costs from going up?
No, great question, Brett. So that is going to take a lot of changes. We've seen surging American oil production, surging American natural gas production over the last 10 years, but not electricity production. Just a different regulatory bureaucracy that has smothered growth in electricity. And, of course, Biden-era policies that wanted to subtract. They wanted to close power plants much more than they wanted to build power plants. Of course, we've reversed that. We've stopped closing coal power plants. We've made it easy and quick to power new power plants. We're going to enable existing power plants to up their output. We're going to take backup generators that are already at data centers or behind the back of a Walmart and bring those on when we need extra electricity production. We're going to do a lot of creative things with transmission lines. So we will find tens of gigawatts of new transmission capacity on our existing grid. And to your point about costs, if you look carefully at the data over the last 5 years, the states that have had the fastest growth in electricity demand, but North Dakota leads the list at over 30% growth in electricity demand, their rates have gone down. Texas and Nebraska, rapid growth in electricity demand, very modest price increases. On the other hand, California, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, they've seen declines in their demand for electricity over the last 5 years and huge price increases. So ultimately, increased demand is going to be a tailwind for lower prices. We're going to have a better, more affordable grid 5 years from now with vastly increased capacity and in America leading in the AI race.
Yeah, and for people now, you know, if you look at the latest energy inflation data, this is September inflation data, you know, you can see energy going up, electricity going up, gasoline a little bit down, gas service up. And if you look at the average gas price, these are two different things to look at, but steady from 1 year ago, it's about roughly the same, $3.07, $3.06. I guess my question is, will people feel a different energy cost into the new year, quarter one, quarter two, do you think?
I think we'll soon see a stop in the rise of electricity prices. We're going to achieve that, I think, hopefully in the first half of 2026, the stop of the rises. But during the Trump administration, you will see a downward trend before the administration's over, a downward trend in the price of electricity. In most all states that are open to building new infrastructure, that are building data centers, that are building power plants, that are building pipelines, we will see overall a downward national trend in the price of electricity.
Well, Mr. Secretary, we appreciate the time on a day like this. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
We're working on that final war. It's not easy, but I don't know. I think we're going to get it.
That framework is on the table, and we are ready to move forward together with the United States of America. And I'm ready to meet with President Trump. And there are sensitive points to discuss. We have them still.
We are naturally ready, as the president said, to discuss specific wording, because a number of issues there certainly require clarification.
Devil's always in the details, but it does appear, or at least the signals are coming from the White House and other places, that they're closer to a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine to end the war. President putting out a Truth Social about the Ukraine war. The original 28-point peace plan, which was drafted by the United States, has been fine-tuned with additional input from both sides, and there are only a few remaining points of disagreement. I have directed my special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to meet with President Putin in Moscow, and at the same time, Secretary of the Army Dan Driscoll will be meeting with the Ukrainians. I look forward to hopefully meeting with President Zelensky and President Putin soon, but only when the deal to end this war is final or in its final stages. So we've seen a number of iterations, but this seems like it's coming at least to a head. Let's bring in our panel, Matthew Continetti, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, Wall Street Journal opinion columnist, Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief at USA Today, and Leslie Marshall, Fox News contributor. Matthew, there are positive signals. Ukraine, Russia, the U.S., obviously the devil's in the details.
The devil's always in the details. This living, breathing document, as Secretary Rubio called it, has grown. It's grown in a way that it seems to satisfy the Ukrainians, even though there's some outstanding issues that President Zelensky and President Trump will decide together. But the question that remains, Brett, as always, is what will Russia do? What will Vladimir Putin do? And the fact of the matter is, throughout this lengthy process where President Trump has been trying nobly to end the war in Ukraine, the Ukrainians have, with pressure, come to the American position time and again, and Russia always says niet.
Yeah. Susan, interesting, the special envoy Steve Witkoff, the Army Secretary Dan Driscoll, going separate ways. They're using a number of different officials, as well as Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And they're delivering these messages separately to try to get them to come together before the president gets involved. And, you know, this is after Alaska, after these previous calls that we've had.
You know, there's clearly a plan that Russia will agree to, and there's a plan that Ukraine will agree to, but they are not the same plan. And that is sort of underscored by the fact that they're not really talking to each other, that you have these separate envoys going their separate ways. You know, the language is still optimistic, but it is President Trump has really backed off his initial demand of a Thanksgiving deadline to reach this. It sounds to me like that he's prepared a little more for what we've seen before, which is sometimes hopeful signs. Certainly President Trump pushing for a resolution to this war, that would be, everyone would be glad to see this war end. But until things like territorial concessions are worked out, it's hard to see how this gets done.
Right. And there may be, and we don't really know exactly where that stands. There was some talk that Russia demand of taking territory that they hadn't even taken yet in the war may be off the table. But we don't have the specifics, Leslie. The Ukrainian president tweeted out that Russia launched another attack at a time when Ukraine, together with America, Europe, and many others around the world, are working virtually around the clock to stop the bloodshed. That attack was on Zaporizhia, the regional administration. And there's, you know, these attacks have been pretty spectacular as far as their reach inside Ukraine, what they're doing. There's buildings on fire, and a lot of people are being killed. There is a tiredness on both sides if you talk to Ukrainians and Russians, but Putin has been the one that has struck deep into Ukraine time and time again.
Actually, and that goes to Matthew's point and also to Susan's point. Here are the big three for President Zelensky. And, yeah, they're battered. They're beaten. They're worn. They're tired on both sides, certainly the civilians and, of course, the military as well. But when you look at what he's asking for, he's saying, look, I want the European allies to sign on to this and be a part of this. And he's asking for a reassurance force because of exactly what you're talking about, Brett, if Moscow does this again. And to Matthew's point, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, you got to believe them. And what we have seen is Putin is not a man and a leader with this country and with these types of peacekeeping efforts to be trusted. And then, of course, to Susan's point, that when it comes down to the territory, I mean, you know, Putin is not going to give up on that. He hasn't in the past, and neither is President Zelensky. So I'm not trying to rain on the parade here. I certainly want peace. I think everyone in the world does. But these territorial concessions have been the sticking point in the past, and I fear they might be now.
Yeah. But Matthew, last thing on this. I mean, there are levers to pull that push Putin's buttons, that put pressure on Putin. They haven't all been pulled yet.
No, they haven't. I think one key element is China. And that's why I think that President Trump's conversation with Xi Jinping was so interesting, Brett. I know that Xi Jinping initiated the call to talk about a dispute between China and Japan. But according to reporting, President Trump talked about Ukraine because, of course, China is fueling Russia's war in Ukraine. Secondary sanctions on China, their purchases of Russian oil, the same way that we're tariffing India for their purchases of Russian oil, could put the pressure on Putin to sign a deal that leaves Ukraine in a defensible position for the future.
Yeah, speaking of the U.S.-China talks, here's the Treasury Secretary.
What I feel very good about is the relationship between the leaders, because you know, when the leaders can have calls like this at the highest level, then you know, bad things don't happen. It was the strong relationship, President Trump showing leadership that sort of calm things down between the two countries. And look, we're always going to be rivals. We're always going to be rivals. That's natural. But are there things we can do together? Yes. We have the relationship in a good place.
Yes, we need a lot of things, but we also are a country that could replace every single thing we get from China. And the president's shown a policy, America First policy, that's going to replace some of them. And if China waits too long, we'll replace them all.
Yeah, it's tough talk, Susan. But in the interim, you've got American consumers, and you have the fallout from all of that and how that develops with China.
Yeah. And if you know, if you're talking about the things that Americans care most about, inflation would probably be on top of that list. And there is, of course, concern that tariff policy, especially with from China, from whom we buy so very many goods, that this will be reflected in people's Christmas purchases, in their cost of living. And there's no issue that resonates more politically in the United States than that. Americans happy to stand up to China, but concerned, I think, about the effect on their own kitchen tables discussions.
Yeah, we'll see. And they all talk about increased relationship, more talking between U.S. and China. We'll see where that goes. All right, the latest reaction to this fallout from the illegal orders video continues to happen. The investigation's stepping up now. Leslie, take a listen.
Senator Markelly well knows the rules of the military and the respect that one must have for the chain of command, and that all lawful orders are presumed to be legal by our service members. You can't have a functioning military if there is disorder and chaos within the ranks, and that's what these Democrat members were encouraging. It's very clear.
I said something that was pretty simple and non-controversial, and that was that members of the military should follow the law.
What he and his colleagues did was inappropriate. He could have taken a step back and said, why am I sending this message, which clearly is an insult to our chain of command?
Leslie, it's now days of coverage after this video. What do you make of it?
I think it's going to be a nothing burger, and I think politically it's a really bad idea. The President of the United States has not served. Pete Hegseth does not have anywhere near the level and rank of these six individuals. And there are a lot of people in the United States who say, what was wrong with the Democrat or Republican, especially, you know, if they're veterans, because they're veterans first, Democrat and Republican second, and they look at this and they say, well, what is wrong? This is part of the U.S. military code of justice that you're not supposed to follow illegal orders. Here's another thing, though, Brett. This is very difficult legally to prosecute. And on top of that, there were people on January 6th that said that they were guilty of sedition, and the president pardoned them all. So, like I said, not a good mountain to die on.
But, Matthew, you know, Martha and others have asked some of these six, you know, what are the illegal orders, and they haven't really laid them out.
The fact that they haven't been able to produce a single illegal order just shows that this was an opportunistic play by the Democrats to their left-wing base. And I think Republicans are unified in their anger over these congressmen, and that will help the president in the fight ahead.
All right. Panel, thanks.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.